All this week, we're looking back on the life and legacy of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Late in her life, Justice Ginsburg achieved pop culture icon status and had mass appeal to young people in particular. Notorious RBG, as she became known thanks to one NYU law student who set off a social media phenomenon, is quite possibly the most well-known Supreme Court justice this country has ever seen. Fans adoringly wear RBG t-shirts, drink from RBG mugs, and some even have her face tattooed on their bodies. Her story has been portrayed in children's books, a Hollywood film, and even on Saturday Night Live.
I'm living every 81-year-old's dream. I get paid to sit on a bench all day and judge people. That's a third-degree Ginsburg!
That was actor Kate McKinnon portraying Justice Ginsburg on Saturday Night Live in 2015. Erin Carmone is a senior correspondent at New York Magazine and co-author of the book Notorious RBG, The Life and Times of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Erin, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thank you so much for having me, Tanzina.
So what exactly was it about Justice Ginsburg that made her such an icon? I mean, what does she tap into?
You know, when Shauna, my co-author, you mentioned she was an NYU law student, when she dubbed her the notorious RBG, it was just a totally spontaneous, fun thing she was doing on the internet. I don't think that anyone imagined that it would escalate or become as broad, strike as much of a chord as it did. What she was responding to was Justice Ginsburg using her voice in dissent. In particular, the Supreme Court majority had gutted the Voting Rights Act. And Shauna, among many other people, was anguished. And Justice Ginsburg putting on her dissent collar and pushing back verbally, making everybody in the courtroom listen to her in a kind of breach of decorum, inspired her. And so in the beginning, it was really about drawing attention to the fact that the rightward lurch of the court was undermining a lot of really cherished values for Justice Ginsburg and for other people. And then after that, I think, you know, the iconography, right? Justice Ginsburg would wear collars that would communicate where she was in the dissent, in the majority. You know, she had her own distinctive sense of style. There was something counterintuitive, too, about venerating a woman who, at the time where this all started, she was 80 years old, you know, didn't look like a superhero stereotype. Certainly, you know, there was this contrast with the hip-hop iconography that was just, you know, again, started as this one-off and struck a chord.
And of course, we have to explain the hip-hop iconography comes from the notorious B.I.G., who's been gone for quite some time, but was a founder or, you know, one of the biggest voices of New York hip-hop and also from Brooklyn.
Yes. And Justice Ginsburg liked to point that out, although at first she actually had to ask her clerks, who is this notorious? And you know, obviously there were important and significant differences in their experience of Brooklyn and in their backgrounds. And she, although she did experience discrimination, she certainly had a different path, a more privileged path than Christopher Wallace. But it was at first it was about the contrasts. And then at one point somebody pointed out to us, you know, they both used their voice when they were kind of up against the wall, when they were losing, and they both had this kind of lyrical acuity. So even though it wasn't exactly what Shauna had in mind with this Tumblr in 2013, you know, it did strike a chord. And it is obviously, we're really grateful that the family and the estate of Notorious B.I.G. actually gave us permission when we wrote our book to quote some of the lyrics in the titles of the chapters.
And of course, the image that so many of us are familiar with Justice Ginsburg wearing the crown sort of tilted to the side, that was originally a Notorious B.I.G., i.e. Christopher Wallace, image. It was an original photo of Notorious B.I.G. from back in the day. You know, there's also been, though, some criticism. We cannot not talk about that. You know, there's been some criticism of the memification of RBG. There's even been some criticism about, you know, how much of a feminist, quote unquote, icon she really was. What can you make of all that?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think I should have said also that the reason that she struck a chord is because we have too few icons who are women, who are not just women who kind of pull up the ladder behind them, but who also seek to expand opportunities for people who are not in the room. And that was who she was. She very much was somebody who spent a significant portion of her career arguing for the expansion of constitutional rights, both for men and for women, And also worked on some really important cases at the intersection of race and gender, like opposing the death penalty for rape on the grounds that it discriminated against Black men, and worked on forcible sterilization of women in North Carolina who were disproportionately Black and poor. But she was human, and she was imperfect. And although there were many reasons to look up to her, she also made mistakes. She apologized for speaking out sort of off the cuff. She called Colin Kaepernick's protest dumb and disrespectful, and then later said that she didn't know what she was talking about and shouldn't have said anything. She didn't have a great record on hiring Black clerks. But her feminism was incredibly inclusive of some of the concerns that are still really with us today. For example, her feminism was about holding men accountable and trying to get men to participate in family life equally with women, and not just trying to get women into sort of the C-suite. She was really passionate about reproductive rights in a way that is consistent with people's understanding of reproductive justice. The case that she really wanted to establish reproductive rights in the U.S. was one in which the government was trying to force a woman to have an abortion, not deny her one. And her very first brief to the Supreme Court, she actually listed as a co-author a queer Black woman, Polly Murray, who hadn't formally worked on the brief, but whose ideas she was inspired by. And so it was really important to her to give credit. So I think as we remember her, it's important to note, you know, all of the pioneering, sort of, she used to say the word pathmarking, ways in which she contributed, but she was human and she certainly was not perfect. And it's important to hold everyone accountable where they fall short.
Well, and as they say, all your faves are problematic in some way, shape, or form. Yes. And I have to agree with that and the humanity of all of us. But Erin, I'm wondering if her memification, if the mugs and the T-shirts and everything else and the books and everything have contributed to people's interest in the Supreme mm-hmm. Court more broadly and the role that it plays in American society. And we've got about a minute left.
Yeah, that's what led me to be interested in it. And I think that that's what led Justice Ginsburg to embrace it, because the court, although it is an elite institution, it touches all of our lives. It affects all of us. It, you know, who can vote, who has access to bodily autonomy, who has access to economic justice, all of that is going to be decided by the Supreme Court, whether we like it or not. And so both to tell the story of the history and also how far we have to come, drawing people in with this sense of humor, with this cultural mashup was part of the project all along.
Erin Carmon is a senior correspondent at New York Magazine. Erin, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tanzina.